All right, let's get started this morning. 1 Corinthians 14:40 is going to be our launching scripture. If I can get Matt, if you'll read that, Hepburn. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Then Colossians 4 and verse 5, David. If you'll get that. Okay, I want to minister this morning just some practical guidelines for some of the things that we do in a regular church service. And this is titled Church Liturgy Practicals. Anybody know what church liturgy is?
Order of service.
The order of the service, yeah. How it flows, how it's structured. So there's things that we do every service, but what I want to focus on isn't so much the why today, but more some practicals about the how. Things that are going to help your service, things that we do in our services, but one day when you're pastoring, when you're ministering, it's going to help your service to run smoothly and efficiently and give it a dignity and an excellence in your atmosphere of your services. So let's read our launching scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:40.
Let all things be done decently and in order.
Okay, decently and in order. So let's lay a foundation. Let's think firstly about the economy of time. Pastor Wayman Mitchell, he used to often talk about this idea in churches about the economy of time. This is the idea of minimizing the amount of steps in your service to get to the important things, the valuable things. Right? And get the maximum results in your service. And so constantly we're looking at our services, the flow of them, and seeing how can we get things done quicker, not just to get out of church, but again, to get to the meat of the service, which is your preaching, right? We are a fellowship. We are a preaching fellowship. We focus on the service. We focus on the preaching of the word and letting God get to work on hearts. So how do we get there quicker and more efficiently? A basic practical of this idea would be to start things when they're scheduled to start. Right? I've been in churches sometimes and, I've preached revivals for people and sometimes smaller works and, oh, we're waiting for Aunt so-and-so, and we're waiting for this person, and yeah, this guy, he gets out a little later, he'll be here soon, and, you know, that's not going to help your flow of your service. Outreaches, right? We announce a start time. It's good to get that started at the appropriate time when you announced it. I've even been in some conferences where, you know, it's like they're not getting started right at their service start time. So these are things to a basic practical of this economy of time. And when this is in place, this actually helps people, your people, to plan and know that their time is going to be useful. It's going to be fruitful. It's going to be maximized. They're going to get the most out of it. Not only that, when this is in place, this is going to help people that are going to want to come and support, right? They're going to have confidence that there's going to be a structure at work. You know, at conference, we had a lot of things, extra things from our normal conferences, like the temperature screenings and et cetera, kind of getting that flow. But I got so much feedback from people, man, it was so structured. Every part of it flowed so well. Every part of it was thought out. And the answer is yes, it was thought out, right? It was thought through. And so when these things are in place, like I said, people will have a confidence and they'll want to come and support. And this breaks down even into these basic levels, like we talked about, your church services, your outreaches. I remember in Rochester, I'd have a guy who would run outreach and, you know, he was very much, you know, just whatever's happening in the moment, he's responding, he's reacting, he's doing. Well, that's how all of his outreaches went. Where are we going? I don't know. We'll see where God leads us. We'll see where God puts us. And then you know, we're going out. He's like, hey, bro, we're an hour and a half in. What's your plan? Well, I don't know. It's just exciting. Yeah, but your people, they're losing heart here, you know? And so getting them structured and getting them on the economy of time, and because there's people not wanting to support, right? There's people, who's running the outreach this Saturday? Right? Because that came with something. Benjamin Franklin said these words, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. So a big part of this is planning. A big part of structure is breaking it down, assessing what you're doing, examining it. How can we get this better? How can we maximize what we have in place? So ignoring this idea will impact the feel and the flow of your service. Right? This economy of time, this idea, when it's missing, when things aren't thought out, you wind up losing time and wasting time. Right? This is very important. Colossians 4 and verse 5.
Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time.
Okay, redeeming the time is what I wanted to focus there. ESV says, making the best use of time. When you apply this idea and maximize your outreach time, when you think things through and maximize your service times, right, that's going to play in to the flow of it. When someone comes into your church for the first time, right, man, now let's take it into the pioneering setting. When someone steps in, man, you're laboring. Think about the amount of outreach you're doing, the amount of follow-up you're doing. You finally get them in the door, and the impression of your church is laziness. We're odd. We're disheveled. We're really long. We're unorganized. Right? These are things that you're giving an impression. So our text tells us, in 1 Corinthians 14:42, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, contextually, he's talking about the gifts, they were out of order, etc. But this idea that our liturgy, the structure of the church, can be arranged, can be planned out, can be focused, and you can maximize it, and the message will be clear. Right? Everything you're doing is going to come with clarity. So let's think secondly then about some of these church liturgy practicals. And I want to start, I think we could go through each and every one, but I want to focus on these four areas here this morning. I want to start with the opening prayer. Now, I don't want to get too, you know, for lack of a better word, religious about this, right? But it's important in the flow of the service that whoever is opening the service in prayer, that they be someone with some leadership qualities and have an authority. So think about this, leadership, that dynamic. You are leading people into the presence of God. That's the main focus right there. That prayer time is a valuable time. So now you're contributing to preparing hearts for what? The sermon. And you're helping to cultivate an atmosphere for people to hear from God. So in your opening prayer, a couple things. Number one, remember, requests have been made that are important to people personally. Right? So some people, they pray like it's not important to them. They pray like it's not valuable to them. This is just the time filler and the thing we do. But you know what? There are things that have been maybe specific needs that are important and valuable to people. It matters to them. And you can help lead them, right, just through a few words of prayer, inspiring faith or inspiring an expectation, etc. Then there's the authority aspect, right? Authority is more than a volume issue. Right? Just because you get louder doesn't mean you have more authority. It's a dominion issue. So in that choice, right, of opening prayer, do you have, or does that person have spiritual authority, right? It's again, it's a form of leadership, right? People are looking at you, and will they want to follow you? I've seen services personally that, man, they're going up. The song service is anointed. There's a presence of God. We give God praise, and man, the church is just, there's a fire of the Holy Ghost at work. And then you read, you know, the requests, and then you go into the opening prayer, and the guy's like, you know, it's like, okay, we're not excited anymore, all right? It went down the field. Because again, these two aspects in that opening prayer can have an impact. Then avoid distracting prayer fillers, right? Sometimes we say things because we're letting our brain think, okay? For me, sometimes I fall in the habit of write. That's my thinking word, right? 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 And my wife will tell me, you know, that was a great sermon, right? There it is. It's in there. I said it too many times, right? And so, you know, in Santa Fe, I remember one of the families, they said, our granddaughter always says, right? After everything, right? She's like, they got that from you. So those are things we do because we're thinking. There are fillers. But you have to listen to yourself. Okay? You have to go back and think, okay, what can I change? What can I make better? So some of the distracting prayer fillers are, we thank you, oh God, we thank you, Lord God, and God God, and my God, and Father God, and you God, and we God, and it's all those time fillers, right? And so you have to begin to exercise a discipline. In your opening prayer, think your words through. Not every second has to be filled with a spiritual word or phrase, right? Pray in your normal way of talking. Some people get behind the mic and, Father God. Yeah, and it's like, who are you? But you can really discipline your words, pray with authority, pray with the Holy Ghost, and remember, we pray because we believe in it, and we make it part of our service because it is valuable to us. Opening prayer is a valuable time. It's a sacred time. We're putting our attention on God. So the person that is opening in prayer, again, all these factors, if you'll apply them, make you effective. I have prayed at funerals. I have prayed at special events and occasions. And people have commented, I've never heard a prayer like that. But it's just a thought through. I believe in it. And your delivery has clarity. So that's opening prayer. I want to think secondly then about giving a report, giving a church report. Why, you know, again, we can address the whys, but how is what I'm focusing on. Plan out your reports. It's important to know in advance, right? What did we do? Where did we do it? That? What happened? Express appreciation, and then give your results. You want to end with your results, okay? There's some people that's like, yeah, we had an outreach. We had 40 saved. Wow! And so what we did was, and then they go, and then it kind of tapers off because you gave the results first. And people are like, they gave the applaud before, so end with your results. Speak with enthusiasm. Speak with clarity and keep it simple. And some people, they go up and the enthusiasm. We had an outreach yesterday. It was pretty good. And you know, 7 people got saved. Give it some enthusiasm. Give it some clarity and let people know. Give them a picture of what happened. And if you highlight something that happened in the outreach, make it count and make it clear. And sometimes we say things that we think everybody knows because they were there, but if you want to highlight something, give a little context, and what happened. And again, keep it simple, make it efficient, right? We don't want a 25-minute report. It's a quick 3-minute report. You can do that. And it's a great practice because one day if you're giving a report at conference, you have 3 minutes for your last 6 months. So you can get 3 minutes into an afternoon outreach, right? So keep that in mind. Highlight those special things that happen, the critical things that happen. Give it with enthusiasm, ending with the results. And that gives people the best part of the report. Souls got saved. Again, we end with the results because that's what's important to us. Right? In our fellowship, that's what's valuable to us. People got saved. And they're not applauding you, they're applauding the results. They're giving God praise for the results of what happened. Lives were impacted. Lives were changed. So keep those keys in mind in giving a report. Then event announcements or your announcements. And of course, we've transitioned more into the video side of that. But again, know the main things to announce. We are still going to highlight the important things just for that week. But in your announcements, there's some things that are important to give people. What are we going to be doing? Where is it going to be held? When or what time? And then who do I contact for details? So in those announcements, again, have an understanding of what you're going to say. This is, again, planning ahead of time. Getting that mapped out. If you're making your announcements while you're giving them, that's going to be muddy. And if you can plan in advance, have it written out, you'll be able to deliver it, and it will make sense. So again, speak with clarity. And again, in the economy of time, sometimes we feel like we got to go really fast when we're reading the announcements because there's a lot of them. But that just gets muddy. If you just know what you're going to say, break it down, you'll be able to give the keys or the main points of that. Then speak with some voice inflection, right? Is you know, sometimes you kind of feel like a TV anchor, but that helps people want to listen to you. They say, this Monday we have a Mother's Day dinner. Then we're going to have an outreach. Then there's going to be Saturday morning outreach. Then there's going to be church on Sunday, right? You can give it some inflection. Allow people, and whatever you're focusing on, you can give a little more emphasis, right? And especially if things are changing, right? Is Saturday, we have outreach 180 at 7 p.m. But due to we're doing this outdoors this Saturday in Prescott Valley, it will be at 6 p.m. So take note of that, right? You can give some inflection. You can give some emphasis. And when you do this well, people listen. There was a guy at conference who asked his cousin. His cousin's my brother-in-law. But he was listening to my conference announcements, and he leans over to him and he goes, does he talk like that all the time? And he's like, no, that's just his announcement speech, you know. He goes, it's really good. But is it when you do it well, people will listen, and they'll hear what you're saying. They'll be able to receive it. And so again, this is all just thinking it through and planning it out. Okay, lastly then, I want to think about taking the offering. It's important to understand that our regular church offerings are not like conference offerings. They're not like our love offerings. In a regular offering, people who are going to give have already come prepared to give. So this is very important to remember, because the mistake that a lot of pastors make is they hear, you know, Pastor Campbell, Pastor Olson, Pastor Greg, they hear these guys give these incredible offerings, you know, with these amazing illustrations, and sometimes there's multiple illustrations, and there's stories of breakthrough, and you know, they're going on, and it's about, you know, 12 to 15 minutes long. There's guys that they see that and they make the mistake that that's what my offering has to be. And man, they're in their church of, you know, their pioneer work of, they have 12 people there and, you know, three of them have jobs and they're, oh man, and then there was, and they're giving and they're elaborating and they're pulling. That's not needed, right? At a conference offering, they're trying to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars and letting God, giving God room to deal with people. In a regular church offering, those who are going to give, they're ready to give. They've made out their tithe check, or they withdrew their tithe money, or they've already gone and secure give and made that tithe and their offering. So in a regular church offering, you may have a short story dealing with money and make a quick application. That's possible. You can do that. You know, reading the news the other day, and I saw, and you know, something with money and the application and a quick scripture. But short, you know, 3 minutes, quick, because people are already there that are going to give already. You might have just a scripture about giving. Many times I'll read a verse and maybe something that stood out to me in my regular Bible reading, and that'd be a good scripture for an offering. I'll read it and just a quick application. How does this apply to us in what we're about to do? And it's quick. Again, 3 minutes or so. You might use the reports that were just read to and reinforce the victories that happen. Often I'll do this on a Sunday morning. Is we have just before the offering a report of the outreach that took place. We're listening and we're worshiping God. Thank you, Jesus. Souls got saved. Then we go into the offering. Man, what an incredible thing God is doing in our city. And you know what? That's all made possible by the faithful giving. We're going to give this morning and continue to see people saved. It's just a quick thing because, again, people are ready to give. You're not going to bring something like, oh, you're right, yeah, I'm going to add another zero, you know, they will be ready for that. And so it's quick, your offering illustration and what you speak on, it's quick. Remember, giving in the service is a form of worship. That's what we're doing. It's an expression of our love for God. It's an expression of our gratitude. It's an expression that He is Lord over our finances. So it's an act of worship. And then thirdly, again, it's part of our service because it's valuable to us. We make it part of the service because it's an important thing. There's a doctrine connected to it. There's theology connected to it, and it's valuable. It's of God, so we make it part of the service. I don't know if you noticed, right, when we had the buckets at the back and people would give before, but you remember the applause when we passed the trays again? Maybe people were like, yes, the tray is coming by me, you know? It's valuable to them, but that's been instilled, right? You'll preach on giving in your sermons. You'll teach on giving maybe in a Sunday school, and you'll reinforce that, but at the actual offering, the preaching and teaching, that's not the place. It's a quick story, scripture, or report, application, let's give. And that's going to really help you. And these are just some of the basics here. That in everything we do, and again, we can maximize the effect of it with some simple planning, and we can get to the meat faster. Right? You notice in a revival, we're going quick. Song short, service is shorter, announcements are shorter, offering is quick, because we want to get to the meat, which is the preaching. You can maximize that time. Okay. Let's open it then for some questions. Yeah.
In a pioneer setting, would your offering be different because you have people coming in that probably don't know what an offering is?
Yeah.
How would it differ or be different?
Yeah, you might, like I said, is in your sermons, you gather a group and they might be interested, so you could preach a sermon on the tithe. You know, Pastor Greg has done the Sunday school on God's sacred portion, that 10%, whole series all about tithing. So those are the preaching, that's the declaration of it, and the teaching, the instruction of it. Then they might even ask questions, what's the whole offering thing? You know, what's that about? Or you say the word tithe, what's that about? Just a simple explanation, you know. And many times in my experience, new converts that ask about it, and a simple explanation of what the tithe is, I want to do that, can I? Yeah, absolutely. You know, so, but yeah, you might give a in your pioneer setting also, short little, you know, bite-size wisdom on tithing and giving. But again, it's not going to be long and drawn out. So, yeah. But you'll be teaching that more. And in a pioneer setting, you're giving in relationship. Yeah. Devin?
Would you have, like, a friend here? You know, we have, like, a call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like think about it or time it, but, you know, like I said, about 3 minutes, you know, in your regular offerings. You know, again, you can pack in a, you know, the main of a story, the main points of it, and a quick application. Let's get, right? Yeah. But it's not like a doctrine, right? Yeah, David?
Do you have guidelines for the end? Like, first of all, like, during a regular service, an altar call, and then kind of like the after altar call. Some people like preach a mini sermon, you know,
yeah,
at the tail end,
right?
The altar call, but then there's like afterwards, you got, you know, closing the service itself. I've seen some differences.
Yeah. Well, as far as re-preaching your sermon, something Pastor Greg taught me was if you have to re-preach your sermon, it wasn't clear to you, right? And so, yeah, you deliver it and you establish the altar. This is now what we're going to come and do or pray about. And so they come and they deal with whatever your sermon was about. You make it very pointed. But as far as closing, what do you mean as far as that goes?
Sometimes a pastor will have like a corporate prayer.
Okay.
For everybody, or for everybody to pray together, lead them in prayer. Sometimes they'll minister the gifts. And then sometimes they'll give more time than others for people to pray the altar.
Yeah, I think that's more of just discernment, you know, based on what you're doing. So, for example, some of what you just talked about, usually an evangelist may do, right? But again, a corporate prayer, you might lead someone because you feel stirred. I want to help you to pray whatever the sermon was about, right? I want to help you to pray about that. So I want to lead you in a prayer. You're just helping them in that arena. As far as gifts, ministry, etc., again, an evangelist would probably do that. Or if you're doing a regular service, I've done services where I've announced in advance, I'm going to be praying for the sick tonight. So I'll preach a short sermon and then allow more room for prayer for the sick. And how you organize that. But again, we want to get to that preaching and that altar space.
I noticed that line by my verse, thinking about the movie, you're talking about setting things up, you know, planning. I've noticed that a lot of times I'll line up over thinking on the spot while I'm talking.
Yeah, for me, I write everything down. I'm very much a lists person. So even my announcements, like, for example, if Zach prints off the announcements and I'm reading his, I'll read them through before so I know what's in there. And that way I have an idea. I'm very much that type of person. And then I very much stick to my notes. I have learned that what I put in is enough. So I stick with that. And the danger is people go back and keep adding stuff. And adding, like you're saying, and it gets overthought. The best editing is removing, not adding. So. Good. Yes, Dwayne.
You pioneered, correct?
No, I have not pioneered, yeah.
Have you ever, you recommend, say you're pioneering and it's you and your wife, it's time to start the service. Would you start on time?
I think that I would, yes, because I'm very much a time person, but I don't know, you know, is again.
Would that be the wise thing?
Yeah, you could, you know, I can speak through some other experiences. You know, my brother-in-law's pioneered, and when he was in San Marcos, he, you know, would comment on services that he started that people came in after, you know, after the start, and then stepped into a functioning service instead of, oh, I thought it was going to start at 7:30, and I came 10 minutes late on purpose, but now you're just starting, you know. So, hey, someone's here, let's start, you know. But yeah, you work that through, yeah. Kind of move with the ebbs and flows of ministry. But definitely, as I noticed in New Mexico, definitely the land of mañana. They were used to not starting on time. And really had to help our, you know, song leader and everyone know we're gonna do this. And you know what? It stopped the latecomers and got we know we're gonna start at this time, right? And so yeah, that's just over time. It's just something you continually do. And as you do that, people go, oh, it's gonna start when they say. Yeah. Good. Very good. Alrighty. Well, now you're going to be listening for my rights.
Right.
Very good. Good questions.